This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's January 7th, episode 1077, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey, it's a hey day.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. I am currently being attacked by a puppy who is, biting my ankle. And I don't understand, like, are all puppies wild when they're, like, you know, 8 weeks old? It's like 100 or zero, Glenn. Is that normal for a puppy?
It's pretty normal, yes, yes. Welcome to the world of puppies.
Oh,
pretty
my gosh,
normal.
I got these beautiful slippers for Christmas. They're kind of like, they got some faux fur in them. But, you know, they're super nice. Oh, my gosh. They're like her favorite thing. But they're my favorite thing, too, and she cannot have them. But, oh, my gosh, she wants to eat them right now. And then, she's trying to bite the slippers, then she bites my ankle, which hurts. Puppy teeth.
Did she have a lot of siblings in the litter?
Yes, she was the only girl, and she had seven brothers.
Well, there's your problem. I mean, she was just spending all that time defending herself, you know, and being attacked on a regular basis. She just thinks you're one of the brothers right now.
Actually, my cousin who had the litter, she said that she attacked. She was the instigator, so that's my girl. She's going to be a beautiful, independent woman someday, but right now she's a nightmare puppy. But I love her. I do. She's so cute. Oh, man, what a mess.
Sort of like our cat, biting your hand 1 minute, or in your case, your toes, and then sitting and being all cuddly the next. So
I know. Yeah. It's like 100% or zero. That's the way the kid is, too, though. So, you know, I've just, this whole puppy and toddler at the same time, yeah, probably not the best idea.
I was wondering about that. We had I had an incident with Scooter yesterday. Speaking of out of control children, so we transfer him to a bigger field in the afternoon where there's still grass and they can go out and eat grass for a couple of hours. And we have three horses that we have to move. And I take Beaker and Scooter, and then Jennifer takes the wild, crazy neighbor's horse. And so usually Beaker and Scooter just walk along, you know, taking the two horses at once. But they've been out together. Because we had to rearrange the fields a little bit, they've been out together all the time, and they haven't had a break from each other. And I think Beaker's getting rather tired of Scooter. So, Scooter's constantly, you know, the one picking all the time, sort of like your puppy.
And we've gone through three fly masks in 3 weeks. That give you an idea?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. Jennifer's getting sick of buying fly masks. So yesterday there was a dog from the neighbor dog came running to the fence and barked. It freaked out Scooter, and he was just picking on Beaker the whole time. So I had a very interesting walk to the field. I almost lost the little guy the one time. They both turned around on me the one time. And that's always fun when you're leading two. You know, that's always a good time. So finally, Jennifer got her horse in the field and had to actually come take Scooter, and then she gave him a lesson or two while he was walking to the field on patience. So he doesn't do that very often, but boy, he was in a mood. Boy, he does get moody. He's very moody.
You know, it's amazing how one act, something they do every single day. My walk from the paddock from the pasture to their stalls. They come in every morning, and the walk is probably 20 yards. And I am not kidding you. Every morning, it's like they've never done it before.
Done it before.
Everyone, like one horse is always like, oh, my God. Where are we going? Is there food there? I need to gallop. I need to run. Or, oh, my God, I'm so scared. I can't. Why is that such a challenge? 20 yards. 20 yards. You think, oh, I could be able to throw a rope over Jet's neck? Nope. He has to be haltered every single time because you never know when he's going to be like, oh, my God, I need to run to the front of the property right now. Or, oh, my God, I need to gallop into the stall because there's a flake of hay there. I mean, it's never ending.
Well, I think one of the problems we have with Scooter right now is that field where we're putting them out now. It's a good probably couple acre field, and it adjoins some other horse properties. Well, they have some Arabs over there, and one little filly that is probably less than a year old, 6 to 8 months old, that he has taken a liking to. And I think that's part of the problem is Scooter is now in love. And he goes over, we put him out in that field, and he hightails it as fast as his little legs will go all the way to the end of the field, to the fence where the filly is on the other side. And the little filly comes running up away from mom and says hi. They can't talk to each other because it's double fence. But he just will stand over there and pine. He will stand over there and pine. And then when I go out to catch him in the evening, of course, where is that? All the way at the other side of the field. Beaker's by the gate, ready to go in, and my pony is still standing over there looking longingly into the other pasture. So
oh,
I have to walk out and get him. Yeah, he's in love. My little pony.
I mean, I had to. I just
yeah,
had
you
to.
Had to.
You
right
said
yeah.
my pony 12 times.
Yeah,
I mean, you might as
I
well
did.
Said my
I,
little
I,
pony.
I did. I was trying to avoid the word little. I was really concentrating on that.
You know what, though?
Well,
as tall as you are, all ponies are little. Sorry.
Little, right, exactly. Well, we have a good show planned for you today. We have an author coming up that's going to talk about a couple of her books that Jamie's very excited to talk to her about, and that's a book on Man of War and a book on another horse, a racehorse called Battleship, which we'll all learn something about. Victoria's going to be here from Horse and Country TV with the European Report. And then at the 10 o'clock hour, we have a list of horse New Year resolutions. These are the New Year resolutions that we wish our horses would make. I have a few for my pony I could add to this list, I think. So, but first, we have to do a daily whinny. My daily whinny goes out to a high school senior by the name of Wyatt Steuven, who lives in Minneapolis and Minnesota. And he is a kind of a local hero this morning. He was driving by a farm in Chatham Township, near Buffalo, Minnesota, and happened to see that the barn itself was on fire. He said It was a big fire. The flames were monstrous. So he actually pulled over of the kindness of his heart. He said the barn manager was kind of going nuts. There were, 12 horses in the barn at the time. And this 17-year-old apparently helped the barn manager get 4 of the horses out of the barn. They could only save 4. The other 8 did, or other 8 or 9 did pass away. Mm. But thanks to this guy being there and helping out, just stopping out of the kindness of his heart, he helped save the horses. He had to be treated for smoke inhalation then. But when you read the whole article, it did say that the barn owner was apparently kind of freaking out, and this kid helped calm him down and actually go back in to get some of the horses out. So good for him. You know, I don't know how many people would have the guts to do that, you know? You would like to think you were the one, but, you don't know
until
the time comes. Yep.
Well, I was going to give my daily whinny to the USEF, the United States Equestrian Federation, because they have now made helmet cams legal again. There was a rider that had a fall, and they potentially were wondering if a head injury was attributed to the helmet cam, so they made helmet cams illegal on cross-country courses. Well, the USEF has finally released a press release saying they do not prohibit the use of helmet cams. The organizer of the competition may prohibit the helmet cam and the competitor must comply, And number three, the decision to wear a camera while competing is voluntary and at the rider's own risk. But I'm not giving my daily winning to them because I found another one. you remember the Breeders' Cup Classic, where a horse named Shared Belief was the favorite, and he left out of the starting gate and was mugged by the horse to his left and kind of like changed the whole outcome. He made his way all the way back, I think, to fourth place. So the horse that won was Byron. California Chrome came in third. And those horses, Byron, California Chrome, and Shared Belief, are all kind of up for Eclipse Award, a Horse of the Year, and it's a heated contest. And they were the three-year-olds of the year last year, and now they're all still in training. And potentially all three are going to have a rematch on February 7th in the $500,000 San Antonio Stakes at Santa Anita. And Shared Belief, Byron, California Chrome, all three are going to be there. And I'm excited. It's going to be drama at the track. And you know how I love some drama at the track.
Well, you know, we're only 10 days away from the Eclipse Awards. We'll know very soon who the winner of Horse of the Year it was. And they're doing that at Gulfstream Park again in Florida this year. So we'll know soon.
We will. Soon 10 enough. More days. Yep. It's got to be California Chrome. Come on. What horse? He won the Preakness and the Belmont and came back and won a couple more. I mean, he's amazing.
I have noticed there's 1,000 articles right now. All of the writers, the race writers are doing their articles just trashing each other for who they're favoriting and stuff. It is a war this year. You know, some years it's pretty clear. Not this year. And there definitely is a war between the writers going on right now.
Oh, my gosh. They get crazy about it. It's like, but then it just seems to me if the fans had any pick whatsoever, everybody picks California Chrome. You can't. And a couple, they did the Media Eclipse Awards yesterday. And the winning, several of the winning pieces that were written were all about California Chrome. So they won Eclipse Awards for writing about California Chrome. So come on. You've got to be Horse of the Year. That's just not another pick. But apparently I am wrong, according to half. Everybody who thinks Shared Belief is the horse, or Byron, or Tapiture, or whatever. Anyway.
I have been reading a bunch of those articles, and they have swayed me to California Chrome now after reading a bunch of the articles. Yep, I'm swayed. So,
loved him. Everybody loved him. Everybody loved him. You've been following him since this time last year. However, it's just the owner's stupid big mouth at the Belmont that irritated everybody. But he's apologized repeatedly, and he says he let the emotions get the best of him. And if people hated me for talking a little overly emotional every once in a while, nobody would like me. So
I get pretty much every day.
Yeah, exactly. Said something stupid and emotional? Gosh.
Not Jamie.
Never do
that. Hey, two things before we that's why you get the big bucks, Jamie. Two things before we get to our first guest. The one is that we talked about on Monday with Leslie that Horse Nation did their Badass Horse Person of the Year, where they were taking votes from their readers to vote for the Badass Horse Person of the Year. And we were all rooting for Elisa Wallace, who's been on our show many times. She is an eventer and a Mustang trainer. And she came in very close second. And McCutcheon, Mandy McCutcheon, the Rainer, came in first. You know, the Rainers just came out. She has a large following. And, you know, she was at the WEG this year, and she's made $1 billion. I mean, she's made more money than anybody else makes. So, so she has a title to add to all those earnings. So,
but
Mandy
she's an amateur, Glenn. She's an amateur.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll keep that in mind. So she won. But Elisa came in a close second, so that's good.
Good.
We're glad to see that. And then we got an email or two, and I've had people ask since we talked about this. Was it Monday we talked about your gift? Or when was that we talked about your gift? Was it Monday? I don't know.
It was after Christmas.
But anyway, you had gotten a bow and arrow. You got a really badass bow and arrow, a compound bow, to be exact. And you were expecting a tiny little children's bow with the little rubber tips. But you got this kick-ass bow that you could kill an elephant with from about 10,000 yards. And so we had a couple of listeners, and one of them was Sharon Bartlett, who wrote and said, she sent us an email and said, what happened to the bow? I want to know more about the bow. Sharon said, we use them for snowballs up here, but it sounds like Jamie needs one for that badass bows of hers. And she sent this target, this huge target that they have in their backyard, and it's a circle, and it has the points and everything, and then it has a couple cartoon characters on the outside that you could throw snowballs at. Apparently, they use it for a snowball game. But it does look like something you could use for your bow and those wicked arrows you got. So have you actually shot the thing?
Okay. Well, just a quick update is, yes, I tried repeatedly to shoot it, and I couldn't even pull the thing back. It's so hard. It's like on the lightest setting, it's like on the kid setting, and I still can't pull it. I just don't have that muscle, you know, whatever that muscle is in the shoulder to draw this thing back. It's like pulling, and then it really, I don't know, it's really hard. So I tried, and sadly, my husband finally relented and took me back to the store. We returned the $300-something bow that he bought.
And you got a saddle.
And no, we stuck with it. I said, listen, honey, you can get one of these, because he liked it. Like, he was like, this is awesome. I'm like, so don't buy me things you want, but basically was what I was thinking. I didn't say that. So we're going to get him one of those to fit to his size and all that. And I bought a 1999 kids bow and some kids arrows and a target. And now I am happily outside shooting with my normal little everyday bow and arrow. And every time I shoot it, Chad's like, oh, my God, that would have been easier. Like, he did all this research on, like, arrow links for my height and all. I mean, he just went crazy. I mean, he's a fighter pilot. Like, he loves to study things and he reads things. And
yeah, they're
so
basically
at any rate, yes, wholesale disappointed him. And he says I didn't, and it's okay. But he's excited at the prospect of having his own. And, yeah, that thing is like, I'd rather throw snowballs. That thing is a death machine. Oh, my gosh.
I was wondering what did. I figured it was going to be going back after we had that last conversation. You know what I got that was kind of fun? I only got to play with it once because you can't do it if it's at all breezy. And we've had some very breezy, windy weather here in Florida. But I got a quadcopter, and I've never flown one before. And I managed to fly it the first time without breaking it. I crashed it a few times, but I didn't break it. But it's fun. I can't wait to play with it some more. That's good. A drone, a quadcopter drone.
I was wondering, what is a quadcopter? It's like a, yeah. Is it like a remote control helicopter?
Yeah, but it's like a drone. They have the four, it has the four spinning blades on each corner, and you can put the cameras on it, like you see it shows and stuff now. So, and this one will go like 300 feet in the air. I mean, it's a pretty good starter one.
You can spy on your neighbors, and it's high enough where they don't know.
I have to get much better at that because it's not very good. Now, I actually bought one for my landlord who was the retired general, and he's actually flown the military versions of the drones before. So he had a great time with it, and he's going to show me how to fly it. So I'm going to get lessons.
As you see, there's your lessons right there.
Although, the first time he flew it, he got about 300 feet up in the air, and then he lost control of it and landed in the neighbor's field next to their horses. So he had to hop over the fence and run over there and hope the horses weren't going to step on it in the meantime. So so he's not terrific at it either. We both need a little practice with the drone.
He's out of practice. Yeah. Out of practice.
I can't wait, though, to get the camera and everything and do that. I think it's just going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. So that's a guy's
trouble.
Choice. See, that's sort of like that compound badass bow of yours.
Yes, and I'm sure men love stuff like that. And Jennifer and I were more than happy to, like, what I did get that I was the most excited about is, do you remember when we did the Equestrian Collections product show?
Yes.
Our picks of Christmas presents?
Yep.
Well, my dear husband was listening and actually got me the red, white, and blue American flag blingy brow band for my cross-country bridal. He did. He's so good.
Does it look good?
So it looks awesome. So I got the halter. He went to Quillen, and I also got the brow band. So I did. I did really well. I just was a little overwhelmed with the bow. It's a little huge. And I
am
now
like
a
buying
vegan.
You a semi-automatic machine gun.
Yes!
You know, or,
yes.
Yeah, right.
I just, it was too scary. It was just too many
when
things.
When you really wanted a BB
wrong.
Gun.
I want to shoot an arrow that goes 20 yards, not one that goes 600 yards, and I can shoot people without even seeing that it's landing. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Easy to control. Easy to control. Right there.
Well, I'm glad you
right
got
there.
That under control. That's good.
Thank you.
Well, let's meet our first guest.
Excellent. Now, well, I would like to introduce everybody to Dorothy. And Dorothy, I'm so excited to go and read your horse, Man of War. I'm such a fan of Man of War. And I would like to introduce Dorothy Ours, the author of Battleship and Man of War. Good morning, Dorothy.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, gee, I'm just a lifelong horse addict, I guess. and a bookworm. And as a little kid, I just always was fascinated with horses, would read everything I could get my hands on, didn't get to be with them for real very much. So, eventually got some riding lessons, never was, like a real show ring rider, that sort of thing. But just have always enjoyed horses, always was for a period of time worked at a friend's Morgan horse farm doing stalls and turnout and things like that, just being around them. So anyway, with Man of War, I was curious about who he really was. You know, you would read the legends about him of how he would set all these speed records, and some of them would say, and he wasn't even out of breath. And you think, wow, really? You know?
Now, Dorothy, when I read you wrote a book of Man of War, immediately I thought about Walter Farley's book about Man of War. Did you read that as a child? Was that one of the things that kind of fostered your interest?
It was, but at the same time, there was a little bit of frustration in there because Farley made up a character, Danny the Stable Boy, who's with Man of War his entire life from the night he's born mm-hmm. until he retires from racing. And I can, as a writer, you know, I can really understand, especially as an adult, why he did it, because you want to pull the reader into that world. And have
right.
someone who loves the horse and is, you know, there for him, with him all the time. And if you did it as nonfiction, we just don't have, even though there's a lot taken down about Man of War, you know, that you can use for nonfiction writing about him, the kind of very, very personal feelings, you just see glimpses of them from the people who were really in his life. So I can see how Danny was there sort of standing in for the reader, saying, I'm going to be up close right. with you this whole time. But that also frustrated me because, I guess, spoiler alert, for those who haven't read Farley's book, Danny always wished he could be a jockey and that he could ride Man of War, and he was too big. So after the horse is safely retired from racing, he sneaks him out onto mm-hmm. the track and sees how fast he can go, and then I guess that's the point where you realize, oh, I really am a historian, you know, because you go, no, this couldn't have happened, you know. And
I read that and I'm like, oh my god, that would totally be me. But you're right,
yeah.
I mean, that kind of took you out of it. You know, maybe it did happen. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe he did have a stable boy, but I guess you would be the one to know. So you had to go
and do a lot of
research.
Yeah, well, I mean, he had armed guards. You know, it was dangerous to be a popular best racehorse in the world. You know, there would be people who would want to dope you to
details,
make you slow down.
Details.
I know. But, you know, there you have the great
Party
divine.
Party pooper.
I'll bring my pitchfork. No, I think Farley did a wonderful job with his book. It's just that moment where you realize, well, he did a great job, but I want to know how it was for real. And, of course, we can't completely know that. We only get slices of it from, you know, what memories were recorded and what impressions were recorded right at the time. But still wanting to understand Man of War as a living being, you know, not as Superman, who can leap tall buildings, and every time the story's told, it gets a little more exaggerated. You know, I wanted to find out as an athlete, muscle and bone, and, you know, what could he do? What was it like for him? And because, you know, there's got to be some effort involved at a certain point. And so anyway, it was not to try to make Man of War seem less than he really was. He was phenomenal. It was more just to understand, well, you know, he couldn't really leap over the Empire State Building if he wanted to. You know, there's, you know, what were his limits? Because everybody has them. So I ended up actually admiring Man of War even more than I did before. Yeah, from having gotten more of a sense of, you would think, oh, he was so brilliant, he was so great, he never had to overcome anything. And, you know, in his ways, he did. It's remarkable how he kept soldiering on, mm-hmm. both physically and mentally. He was such a dynamo.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so you know so much about Man of War, and we all kind of know a little bit more about Secretariat, and the argument continues on which is the greatest horse of the 20th century. Is it Man of War or is it Secretariat? Who's your vote?
Oh, my gosh. So the argument can
right?
get so vicious, and I honestly... I love them both, and I know that sounds wimpy, but I started out, you know, Secretariat, I remembered him. I never saw him in person, but I remembered, you know, seeing him on TV. I'm ancient
yeah.
enough for that. So, you know, he was also genuinely phenomenal, and I don't think we'll ever see a horse do what he did in the Triple Crown, where he ran each race in a different style. You know, coming from last place in the Kentucky Derby and working his way up gradually, passing the whole field on the first turn in the Preakness, and then just in the Belmont Stakes, letting it rip the whole way for a mile and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, what versatility. Usually a horse has one way they prefer to run, and to do that, you know, it just gave you the feeling like, wow, you could do just about anything with this horse. But,
oh, my gosh. You're not going to answer, are you? I mean, really.
I think it would depend on the day. I think when you get to that level, and you could throw other horses in there like Citation, you know, or you'd really, it would depend on so many little tiny factors. Because, you know, there were days when Secretariat did not win. There was only one of those for Man of War. I mean, I would think in a lot of ways you would make Man of War the favorite if the two of them were to meet. But I also... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. And the book is called Man of War. And then your website is DorothyYours.com. Now, you also wrote a book on a horse named Battleship. And I saw mm-hmm. Battleship. I'm a huge race fan, and I've never heard of Battleship. Well, that's because Battleship is a timber horse, am I correct?
Yeah, a steeplechaser. He actually raced over brush. Some of his stablemates went over timber. But he was a son of Man of War who, part of the reason I wrote the book was I felt captivated by what he did and the fact that he isn't well known. As it turns out, in a way, that's sort of a hindrance to promoting a book because it's like, who? You know,
yeah.
But I'm not sorry for a moment for having done it. I'm really glad because what a journey that was. He was a small horse. He was the same height as War Admiral and Seabiscuit, only 15'2". And he ends up running in the Grand National Steeplechase in England, where the fences on average are about 5 feet high. And so, you know, the point of his withers is about even with a lot of those jumps in that race, mm-hmm. and it's 4.5 miles. And he was a stallion. He was an 11-year-old stallion running in this race,
wow.
which is the same race as National Velvet, you know,
right.
another great work of fiction. So the fact that he did this American horse, who, you know, brought up and raised in America, some American racehorse owners had won the Grand National before, but they bought a horse over in Great Britain who was already brought up in that system. And so for Marion DuPont from Virginia to send a battleship across the ocean in a boat, because you couldn't fly them back in the late 30s, and apparently he wasn't real happy about being confined in the boat. You know, you can imagine Man of War probably wouldn't have been either. Very, energetic horses. But she not only got him over there, got him acclimated, got him with a wonderful trainer, Reg Hobbs, but Reg's son Bruce was developing into a top jockey. And Bruce, when he first rode battleship in a steeplechase in England, was only 15 years old. The horse was 9, the jockey was 15.
Wow.
So it took them a couple of seasons, but in the spring of 1938, the spring that Man of War turned 21 years old, battleship made it into the field in the Grand National. And, you know, from there, it was one of those things where reading the accounts of it, I felt like this is the sort of stuff that Hollywood makes up, and it actually happened. The Grand National is such a wild race, that really is, as the cliche goes, stranger than fiction. I was just saying, by the time of finding out, just reading about Battleships National, which I stumbled onto, I think, by revisiting C.W. Anderson books, if you've run across his wonderful, early 20th century, mid-20th century books of little profiles of horses, and he would do lithographs of them that were very expressive. Battleship was one of those, and it was that little, want to know more, that got me into it, to the point of going, this has to exist. Battleship can't be completely forgotten. And he's buried, actually, in a place of great honor at James Madison's Montpelier, the country estate of the father of the Constitution. Battleship is buried on the front lawn because Marion DuPont, just off to the side a little with two other of Marion DuPont Scott's favorite horses. He earned this place in history that you would never expect, that's sort of quietly gone back into the past, except, if you want to, you can find a little bit more about what it took to make this journey, for his owner, for his rider, and for this horse, who started out on what we'd call the Triple Crown Trail now, and ended up on this entirely different path to the Hall of Fame.
The book is called Battleship, and it's A Daring Heiress, A Teenage Jockey, and America's Horse. And I cannot wait to read both of these books. We're horse people, and we love any story about a horse. And when I saw the name Battleship, I thought, well, that's somebody I don't know. I need to know. So I appreciate that you wrote it, and it sounds like Hollywood's going to come a knocking. It could happen.
I don't know. I think maybe I should have put a comic book superhero in there if that was going to happen. But, but hold that thought.
I love it. Well, we're going to say we knew you when you're a super famous writer and you're going up to receive your Academy Award. So Man of War is one of the books, A Legend Like Lightning, and Battleship is another one. Where can people find your book? I'm sorry, I could talk to you for another half an hour about all this, but unfortunately we're running out of time. So where can people find these books?
Amazon or, major booksellers, if it isn't on the shelf right now, you can certainly order it. They're available also as ebooks, if you have a favorite ebook reader, iTunes, that sort of thing. Come on down.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and I hope we get to talk to you again, and you'll still take our calls when you're a famous movie producer.
Oh, gladly. I'll need a reality check.
Thanks so much, Dorothy. DorothyHours.com. Thank you very much for being on the show, Dorothy. Congratulations.
And the last name is spelled O-U-R-S. O-U-R-S.
Sorry. O-U-R-S.
Well, we have our next guest coming up, Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV, right after we hear from our friends and title sponsors at Back on Track.
We're here with Bo from Back on Track, sponsoring today's show. And, Bo, we've discussed human products and we've talked about horse products, but you guys actually have things for dogs.
We do. We have dog blankets. We have dog beds. We actually have dog hock boots. We have dog leg wraps. And this is the same for horses and people. They help to reduce inflammation and get the dogs to feel better. We have everything from toy dogs up to large grand, what do you call them? The big ones. The
Great Danes.
Great Danes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bernards, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So the dog bed, they would climb in the dog bed, and the whole thing is lined with this ceramic that increases blood flow?
Yes. And dogs actually, is hurting on one side, is actually laying down on that side.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of fun to see. And you know, cats love something in the barn, and you lay on the increased blood and warmth, you know. So both dogs and cats love it. And we sell a lot in the agility business. Not so much over here, some we have done in Europe, but we have not really promoted ourselves so much here. But, you know, everybody, some have horses, have a dog, and we have two kinds. We have a regular dog, some dog blankets, some they can have outside, and then we have one mesh, mm-hmm. some they can have indoors, some is a little bit lighter.
Okay, gotcha. So the hock boots for dogs, like these are for performance dogs or like those of us who have older dogs?
Older dogs, you know, like it's not just performance. It's older dogs when they, you know, you start to be aches and pain. And
takes them a little while to get up.
Yeah, it really makes a difference. Without being a miracle, it really helps the dog, yes.
I can see it for our greyhound because when we take her to the dog park, she's a greyhound. So
yeah.
She runs her legs off and then she's a little stiff the next day. So that would probably be good for that.
Absolutely. And we have greyhound blankets. We have Dachshund blankets.
I was going to ask you that because the greyhounds are shaped different.
Yeah.
They need a different size blanket.
We do have them. And, you know, greyhound, they always freeze.
Right.
I had hair.
You
know, I had the Italian greyhound.
Oh,
one,
did you?
She always shaked. So, yeah, she would have been
they're so cute, Italian greyhound.
Yeah, she wasn't a good dog.
Well, I would like to go and I'll have to go get one for our 15-year-old basset hound, but I'm not letting our puppy anywhere near it. He feels good enough. He's driving me crazy. Well, thanks, Bo. From Back on Track, check out backontrackproducts.com.
Thank you.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
That's right. It's that time of the week when we hear from Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV with all the good things going on over there in England and Europe. Happy New Year, Victoria.
Happy New Year to you both.
Thank you so much for joining us again. It's good to hear your voice in 2015.
No, it seems quite a while since we last spoke.
We both had those holidays to, you know, attend to and vacation and things.
Yes, work. Hurrah.
Exactly. Well, I am sure that things kept on going right through the holidays at Horse and Country TV and things did not stop.
Well, we were very busy just before Christmas with Olympia, which is our big London horse show, which is always a great way to see out the season. So we worked so hard there that we did actually slow down a little bit in between Christmas and New Year. But now we're back into the swing of things with lots of stories and videos.
Now, we haven't asked you how your horses are doing in a long time. Let's check in on them first.
One of them has gone on trial to a really nice family. It's a teenage girl.
Oh, nice.
So hoping that the last time I heard, they're delighted with him and hoping to keep him. So fingers crossed. And my mare is lame. So very frustrating. It's very minor, but not quite sure what it is. So she's had a little bit of time off, and now the vet's coming tomorrow to see if we can work out what it is. So hopefully something very, very inconsequential, and she can get back to training and competing soon.
You know, that always happens when you have two horses, they're both sound all the time. And when you finally sell the other one goes lame immediately. It's a requirement,
I think. That's exactly what has happened. I think it was within left of him going. So it's just frustrating, and I had some time off over Christmas and New Year, and lots of time to go and ride and couldn't ride. So quite disappointing. And poor Rosie is not enjoying being stuck inside, and I think she's going a little bit crazy. And I went to see her yesterday to give her a good groom, and she had a visit from the physio, and she kept licking my feet. So I'm a bit worried about her.
She's mentally going crazy.
She is. At one point, she nibbled the laces on my boots and thought she'd just tore them and lifted my leg off. And I thought, this is not a good idea. I'm going to end up being tipped over.
Yeah, she needs some toys. She needs some toys in that stall.
She's got a football that drops pony nuts if she kicks it around. So she does have one stable toy, but no, she likes people's feet because she's doing it to me and she's doing it to one of the girls as well. So I think everyone has to watch out.
Well, one of your articles, and what a beautiful picture it is about an endangered zebra that was born on New Year's Day. And how cute are they?
They're so sweet. It's the ears especially. It's so, so beautiful. And beautiful markings as well. But yes, it's a foal, not so much the European report, but it's a foal that was born in Denver Zoo. And it's just, it's so stunning. Very sweet.
Now, is this at the Denver Zoo. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, and the color on this zebra is so defined. You know, some of them can be a little mushy. You know, the colors are fade together. This is just so defined. It's incredible. Really is cute.
Absolutely. It is. It's a real sweetie. And it's just nice to get a picture of it as well. And you know, you kind of, the best way to see zebras is, of course, out in the wild and living the life they're expected. But this is a very endangered breed, and there's only 2,000 left in the wild. So, I think it's great that they're kind of having a breeding program to hopefully be able to maintain the numbers of the breed, and hopefully we'll see an increase.
Now, I read
go ahead.
The Denver Zoo, it says it's in Canada. Is that correct?
I've just changed that. Now it's
okay,
I'm going to tell off my news writer
that. Oh, good. Go ahead, Jamie.
No, I was going to say,
magically changed already. I did just see that and thought, no, my geography is not that bad.
For those who don't know, the gravy zebra is the one with the rounded ears. They're definitely the cutest ones. And they have them they had at least one when I went to the San Diego Zoo. And we stood around and waited for it to come out of the little stall because it's got a little running shed. And finally it came out, and they're so unique looking. They're so different looking. And they have those rounded little, and this little foal is adorable. We'll have to post the link to this article on our Facebook page and Horses in the Morning, because it is just so cute. And thanks for reporting on something. We had to go to England, Glenn, to find out what's happening
in
our country.
That's true. Well, you know, the other thing, you cannot stop talking about Ben Maher, can you? You just can't stop talking about him.
And we call him Mayor over here, but
Mayor?
I noticed Americans, everyone always calls him Maher. So I'm not entirely sure which is right. I guess we should ask Ben. But yes, he had a really good week at Olympia. He kept coming second and third, and he was leading rider all week just by having lots of good placings. And then right at the very end, on the final class of the week, he won the Grand Prix on this mare called Diva, who is she lives up to her name. She's a real chestnut mare, very fiery and sensitive. And it was really great to see him win. And then they presented her with the trophy, and she didn't like this one little bit. She kind of leapt around the arena with Ben looking progressively more nervous, with his hat in one hand and his massive trophy in the other. And finally, he had to drop the trophy on the ground. And he said afterwards, it was me or the trophy. So you can kind of see why. But it was just great to see. Now you guys have got him for a few months. He's gone over to Florida for the Winter Equestrian Festival. He's got
Bad thing. He comes over here and takes all our money and brings it back to England.
He does, but at least he rides for an American owner. So it's not all bad.
We had Emily on, who were doing the jumping show episode yesterday, and she's down in Wellington and talking about everything Wellington yesterday. And we were talking about the fact that a lot, because of Ben, a lot more of the international riders are heading to Wellington now.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm looking at, I'm getting all the press releases and news from Florida, so I'm looking to see who's doing well and keeping an eye out for Ben's name. And he's got a couple of exciting new horses as well. So fingers crossed he has another successful few weeks out there.
Haven't you convinced Horse and Country to send you over to cover all the activities in Wellington for a couple of weeks during your coldest time in England?
Well, as you can, might be able to hear, I'm slightly croaky, and so I'm not very well, so I think I should be sent out to Florida.
I do. Florida cures everything. It cures everything. I'll write you a letter for you, okay? I'll send a recommendation over.
Now, keep in mind, earlier this show, and I didn't make a comment about it, because I'd let it go, but they kept talking about, Victoria, how they kept having to buy fly masks for their pony. And I realize nobody feels sorry for you because the rest of the world doesn't have flies right now, except for Phoenix.
That
but it was like, you're like, oh, we keep having to buy more fly masks. Well, at least you get to use fly masks right now.
Exactly. We're too busy drowning in mud over here to have any.
And I just noticed Lexington had a snowstorm this morning. So, yeah, you're probably right, Jamie. Well, now, we talked about this before we went on holiday, on break, and that's Charlotte Desjardins, who just cannot do anything wrong and is pretty much the hero of the horse world at this point, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, and she just, you know, Olympia, yes again, demolished the competition, and she broke her own world records twice over and just made it look so easy. And she's getting closer and closer to 100%. And it's always been said that that was never going to be possible in dressage. And, you know, it's ridiculous to think that 20 years ago, the top riders were scoring in the 70s. And then 10 years ago, they started scoring in the 80s. I got Charlotte scoring in the 90s. And, of course, Totilas, when he was ridden by Edward Gall, he also broke into the 90%. And it is insane to think how much dressage has come on in 20 years.
You know, I got to ask the question, and I might have asked you this before, but I'm not sure. And I always regret asking this because I sometimes don't get the answer I want. And that is Charlotte as nice as she seems?
Yes, she is. She is very nice. Slightly shy, and I think she finds doing public speaking quite difficult. And in the run-up to Christmas, I think we spoke a little bit about it. She got nominated for all these awards, including the BBC Sports Personality of the Year Awards, which is our, like, kind of best-known sporting achievement ceremony that we have in the UK across all sports. And she was up there, and she was terrified on that stage. And I thought it's quite a shame because they're not seeing what we get to see, and her being really bubbly, and it is hard talking about our sport to a non-horsey audience because it can be very easy to confuse people or alienate them if we use too much terminology or make it complicated. And she was so quiet, and then a week later she came to Olympia and she was saying that, you know, riding in front of 8,000 people and competing in her Grand Prix test was just a walk in the park compared to being on stage at Sports Personality. So she finds the whole fame thing quite hard to deal with at times, I think.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that she's lovely because I've been disappointed before. So I'm glad to hear that. Now, what is it with the seven dwarfs at Olympia? That's something we didn't cover.
It's a competition that they have every year at Olympia called the Riding Clubs Quadrille, and teams from around the country create a routine, and they're really dressed up, and they come up with music that goes with the theme, and the costumes are so intricate. And so this is this year's result, and a team from the Seven Dwarfs, they won the award, and we've got a video of their test. You can see the four ponies working together, and you can find out how four riders managed to represent seven dwarfs. And they did do it in quite a clever fashion.
Great. You can see that video at horseandcountry.tv. And then the last thing we wanted to talk about was last year, over the past couple of years, you guys have done photo galleries where you ask for photos from your viewers for, you know, various things. And you've now done one for bridal parties. You wanted pictures from bridal parties, and then you can vote on which ones you think are the best. Now, it is good to see these pictures, and I'll tell you why, Victoria, is because over the last 4 years, we have covered some disastrous weddings that have had horses involved. It seems like no wedding goes well if there's a horse involved. And it's good to see that there were actually some that might have come through without broken arms and legs.
Yes, you're right. And even just the most basic thing of, you know, I can't go near a horse without getting filthy from head to toe. And so on the one day when you're meant to look smart and elegant, you end up covered in slobber and horse hair and probably mud as well. So this is one thing. Obviously, we recommend wearing a riding hat when you're mounted, although possibly not on your wedding day because it's not going to go too well with the veil, I guess. But there are some lovely pictures on there, so check them out.
Yeah, you can check them out. Can people still submit pictures too?
Absolutely, keep them coming. We want them to grow and grow. So we have the world's biggest horsey wedding gallery. So keep them coming.
Very good. And that's all at horseandcountry.tv. Thank you, Victoria. We appreciate you being here, and we'll talk to you again next week.
My pleasure. Talk to you next week.
Good luck with your pony. It'll get better soon. You'll be riding in no time. You'll be riding in no
better.
Time.
Thank you.
All right. See ya. Well, there we go. We're all caught up again in what's going on over there in Europe. We're going to take a break for a song. And, you know, I picked this song because Jamie and I, before the show, we have our pre-show meeting with Jennifer, and Jamie and I were a little unfocused and really got on some political high horses today. And Jennifer kept going, got to get back to business, got to get back to business. So I thought Love is a Rose would be appropriate, seeing we were just getting all fired up about the whole world today. So we're going to do Love is a Rose from Templeton Thompson.
And I'm an official HRN auditor. I love the programming that the Horse Radio Network offers and have chosen to support them through a monthly contribution. If you enjoy listening to any of the Horse Radio Network shows, won't you join us as a member of the HRN auditor family? You can do it for as little as a dollar a month. just go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the HRN Auditor banner. And don't forget, as an auditor, we get the blooper reel.
Well, thank you to Temple Johnson for allowing us to play her music. We really appreciate that. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. We will have the EquityMFG.com Really Bad Ads back on Friday, so everybody should get their ads in now. Jennifer needs a few more, and we would love to hear from some new people as well. We love our regular submitters, but we would also love to hear see some new names popping in there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So if you can get on Craigslist today and, you know, just take a look at what section is the home and farm or farm and home or whatever, right?
Farm and garden section.
Farm and
I know that because it is just so funny. And, you guys, it's super easy to find a really bad ad. I mean, heck, you can go on Dream Horse. But just find the one that has that title that you just read and you're like, that doesn't
really
look that, like, I see the title and I'm like, oh, this one's going to be good. And that's when I click on it. It doesn't take very long, and you'll win some fabulous prizes thanks to our sponsors and EquityMFG, the makers of the Flexin' Fork and the Shakin' Fork. So you may even win one of those. It's totally worth it to check it out. So look at it. Send it to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com.
And we'll put in there really bad ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad into the email. A couple of programming notes and then a couple of notes before we have some news stories here, and then I have a great list for you about New Year's resolutions for horses that we all wish they would make. But we usually, you know, regular listeners know that we've been doing celebrity trivia for some time, and we have discontinued celebrity trivia as of the end of last year, and we're looking at doing some new things. We try and mix it up every year in this time slot at 10 o'clock on Wednesdays, and we're working on some new things for 2015, and we'll get to those and let you know about those shortly. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about some news, and you had a story that apparently has become big time out there in Arizona.
It really has. This has even been on USA Today, but it's on every news station. And I had the vet out yesterday, and this is a case of animal hoarding at its absolute worst. There is a woman that lives in Phoenix, not too like far from the downtown area. You just never know what you're going to find in Phoenix. And she has several animals, like over 100. The sheriff's office is referring to the place as Noah's Ark because she had at least two of like every kind of animal in the world, and you know, of course, like every male was not castrated. So just a mess of animals. So this woman had so many animals that the stench was going down the street, and so neighbors started reporting a really bad smell. So fortunately, my vet is the one that does all these calls. She's involved with the Mass Sheriff's Department. So she's my vet, and then my neighbor is also the deputy that gets involved in all these cases. So I get to hear all sorts of stuff as it's leading up to the arrests. And so deputy friend of mine said she went to the house and knocked on the door because when they get calls, they have to investigate. So she's like, I showed up. There's a million animals. She opens the door, and there's a woman that comes to the door wearing shorts and flip-flops, and there's like 8 inches of feces in the house on the floor. And she said it was squishing between her toes. This is like the worst case of animal hoarding. She had chickens in cages in the house. Chickens, cats, hundreds of cats, all sorts of stuff. So the horses on the property, now my New Jersey contingency of listeners, pay attention because two of the horses that were confiscated are Gypsy Vanners. Gypsy Vanners. The other two equines that they were not able to confiscate because they cannot touch them are zebras. She had zebras and Gypsy Vanners at her house.
This is fairly
really
like
bad
suburban, isn't it? Isn't that like the country?
Yes. No, and that's the weird thing about Phoenix. People put animals anywhere because there's no grass anywhere, so it's like it doesn't matter. I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah. She had horses, donkeys, chickens, pigs, sheep, alpacas,
llamas, the whatever, every kind of dogs, cats, everything. And they were able to capture, and I think they took about 60 of them. Now, it gets even weirder, and this is kind of breaking news right now. So, crazy woman, bless her heart, she's clearly got something going on. She apparently wanted to start a rescue and couldn't get the land, but people started giving her animals, and so she just has collected all these animals. Nothing has got any medical attention. They're all starving. The place is a disaster. It's a big mess. So she gets arrested. Okay, crazy story continues. She gets arrested. She gets treated because as she's sitting in the sheriff's office wherever
she is. Do I want to hear this?
Oh, gosh. So she's sitting there at this police department, and she decides what they think that she's done is she tried to commit suicide. How did she try to commit suicide? She took the cap off. You know how you open a can of Diet Coke and there's a like flexi cap and the little thing that you psh, she swallowed that.
Oh.
So she decided to take that and swallow it. Then she was rushed to the hospital because she swallowed this piece of sharp metal. So, I mean, I'm not meaning to laugh because clearly this person needs some help.
Yeah,
but they said the accident was a suicide attempt. And so she was at the hospital, but she was not guarded at the hospital because of the allegation against her. Nobody thought she was a flight risk. She's run away. So now
so
this chick is missing. She's gone. She ran away from the hospital. So it just gets, and this is breaking right now. This is so crazy. But this has been a news story, just the part about the animals and the zebras. And apparently poo was on her bed. There was so much crap on her bed, covering the furniture. The waste had piled up to nearly a foot in the garage. And she was walking around in flip-flops. And the deputy said that it was squishing between her toes. My vet said, I guess the sheriff was like, get those zebras. Get the zebras. And I guess, unfortunately, they were unable to capture the zebra. Dr. Hendricks said she went up to the male, who was intact, they think. And she's like, I couldn't really get a good look. But apparently, they got a halter on him, but he wouldn't lead anywhere and just ran backwards. And then they tried to get the mare, but the stallion was not letting anybody near the mare, so she was they were being attacked, and so they had to send wildlife experts into this place to try to capture those two because they're just wild as deer, wild as zebras, if you will. We need Dominic from Zebras Are Us to go out there and work her magic, but it's crazy. It's a crazy story, but now some of the neighbors are like, she had a hoarding condition, but it wasn't abusive animals. That wasn't happening there. Any dime that she had went to feeding the animals. Well, she needs more dimes because apparently they were not eating very well and there was just no clean. Anyway, it's a very sad story, but the good news is the animals have helped. The bad news is woman's on the run and trying to kill herself, swallowing metal.
She definitely needs some help. Yeah. It's sad. You know, most of these cases, that's why I can't watch the shows on TV about this, is because it's just sad. You know, the people are obviously have a condition and they need to get treatment, and it's just sad. And, you know, whether she tries to, you know, we all try to do the best we can, but sometimes it's over our head and that doesn't mean she gets to keep the animals because she was trying and not succeeding.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the bad part of it all. But, wow, what a story.
It's just crazy. Well, that's the news, is that MASH Horses is going to have some gypsy vanners here in a while to adopt if she doesn't get them back, which I can't imagine that somebody like this would get their animals back. And yeah, watch. You know what? My mom comes into town. And
you don't have a zebra.
No, I don't. I could get one of those. That'd be awesome. What a great idea. No, my mom came into town a while ago, and we were like, let's go garage sailing on Saturday morning. We were going to go to yard sales and garage sales. She loves to do that, so I'll do it with her. And we watched like 3 episodes of Hoarders Friday night. I'll tell you what, I didn't buy a damn thing. Neither one of us bought anything. We're like, ugh, like all the stuff, like sitting in people's yards and just, too much. Like, I drove by. I'm like, I'm not stopping there. I'm not stopping.
So, yeah, watch hoarders. You'll clean out your closet for sure. But she's in over her head.
I have a happier story. At least we hope it ends up with a happy ending out of New Zealand. And this is about a 16-year-old girl named Caitlin Blake. And she has a disease. She suffers from hepatitis 2 since she was 7 years old, and that's a nasty disease. And she's been at long stays in the hospital each year, and she's very shy and apparently uneasy around people. And some smart people thought, well, we'll get her a horse. And in this case, they went for a Mini, and they got her a Mini, which she madly fell in love with. The Mini's name is Color, like Color, C-O-L-O-R. And apparently became a great mate. Well, I'll be darned if shortly after she didn't get this Mini, the Mini got sick. And now, it doesn't say, unfortunately in the article, it doesn't say exactly what the Mini had, but let me tell you what she found when she went out one morning. Is she found the Mini with green goo and water pouring from its nose, and it was immersing its whole head in the water trough. So that doesn't sound good for any horse. It did not respond to treatment by the local vet, so they had to go to the vet hospital, and they took him there as quick as they could, and they've been treating, and apparently the Mini's been coming around to treatment. It never says what it was. The Mini's been coming around for treatment, but they've had to spend up to $6,500 so far for the Mini to be there for a couple of weeks, and they didn't have the money. She sold her saddles and everything else that she could to raise money to help keep her Mini at the hospital. And, of course, they've had huge hospital bills with the daughter, too. Well, they went on to one of the crowdfunding sites, and in a matter of 2 days, they raised $10,500 for her. So she was able to keep her Mini at the hospital, and they're keeping up the treatment, and hopefully the Mini's going to recover. It looks good so far. So, but there's a good story of how the local people in that area came out. They said within 4 hours by noontime, they had raised the $5,000 already, and then within 2 days had done the $10,500. So she has enough money left over that instead of keeping the money, get this is how this girl thinks, instead of keeping the money, any extra money that's been raised that the Mini's not going to use at the hospital will be kept in a hospital fund for other people who can't afford to get their horses treated that they can use then too. So, just for her. I mean, what a neat kid, and we hope that she licks her disease and that the Mini does as well. I don't know if you see the picture there, but it's really
adorable.
Really, really. Yep. So that was my good story out of New Zealand.
Good.
What was it? The other ones were just pretty negative. So let's just go on with. A couple of really bad stories. There were some horrible stories in the news today, I got to tell you. Well, let's go on with the New Year's resolutions. I found this on a website called horseplay.ie, and IE stands for Ireland. So this is an Irish website that's called Horseplay. It's a blog over there. And they did the horse New Year's resolutions. And these are resolutions that you wish your horse would make, okay? So that are ones that we're wishing our horse would make. And let's see if we can relate to a few of these. I can walk and poop at the same time. I can. Well, I know one little pony named Scooter that just cannot. We have not gotten through that training hurdle yet. If he has to poop in the cart, he stops and poops. There's no keeping him moving. He is not going to move. No. If he has to poop, I don't poop and walk. Have you ever had a horse have that problem?
One of my lesson horses, Chili Pepper, the little paint horse, oh, my gosh, he can be trotting along with some little kid, you know, bouncing around all in him, and he just slams on the brakes. And, of course, they get thrown forward, like, you know, the car slams on the brakes. They fall onto his neck, and he, sorry, he's just pooping. Yeah, keep kicking. Yeah, I know, keep kicking him. Yeah, it never works. But I've had this horse on my property for 5 years, and he has never walked and pooped, ever.
Oh, good. So I have no hope for Scooter. He's going to be always stop and pooper.
Quit beating him. It's not going to change.
Great. If I ever get to the point where I actually show him, that's probably not going to win me any points in the dressage ring, is it?
No, it's not good.
No. All right. I have to make sure he goes before we get in the ring. I will not leave when my rider falls off. Well, that, there's just wishful thinking there, I think. My stable is not my litter box. When I have free access to my paddock, I will not go back inside and pee. Do you have the open stalls?
I have three are open. Yeah, some of them are open, and they do. I don't understand why they, or just when you bring them in, they pee. Why
yep.
do that? You got yes. that whole field.
Or they do it right after, if they're in and you're cleaning the stalls around them. As soon as you're done and shut the door and you walk out, they poo or pee immediately when the clean stall. Just pisses
oh,
me
yeah.
off. Yeah. Just, I will
time.
Not, this, here's another one that applies to Scooter. I will not roll in streams or try to roll when my human is on my back. I had to keep him moving the one day we were driving him, and I was always wondering whether he would try and roll, you know, if because we all know he has a rolling issue about, for 2 million people know that, and he loves to roll in streams and water. And the one day I was driving him, and we actually came up to a fairly large puddle, and he thought about it. Jennifer's like, "Keep it moving," so, and we were
oh,
driving
yeah.
at the time. yeah, but rolling in the harness in the cart is not the same as rolling when you know when you have a saddle or a human on your back. It does not result in the same thing. Not
no.
good.
It can't be good. It can't be pretty. Yeah.
No. I will not leap over large, non-existent obstacles when the whim strikes. We've all known. We've
Alfie,
all known horses.
I hope you're paying attention on this one.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Jennifer's horseshoe
road
of Wendy's. Yeah. Yeah. I will not walk faster on the way home than I did on the way out. I have never had a horse. Well, the only horse I've ever had, a Scooter, who actually walks slower on the way home, and that's because he's faking that he's tired because he doesn't want to work anymore. You know, it's.
Okay,
awesome.
Well, it does not matter where you are in this neighborhood. You can ride 16 miles, and dear God, you turn towards the direction of home. Duke will take you there. I mean, it's like the kids are like, why is he walking so fast? I'm like, yeah, I know we're like 6 miles away, but he understands that this is the direction, this is east, and this is the way that his house is. Oh, my gosh, he's amazing. He knows every time.
I promise not to swish my tail when my human is cleaning my back feet. Yeah. That,
oh, I hate that. Or brushing their rump.
And it's usually, and the when it's worst is right after you've given a bath and the tail's wet, and then they do it, and they get you with that tail. For some reason, it hurts worse when it's wet. I will not bite my farrier.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Here we go. That's what it feels like. Right
exactly.
there.
And also, I promise not to choose that particular time to answer nature's call. Yeah, they always poop on your head. That's just part of it. You know, anybody that's never had horses that would listen to this would be totally grossed out and go, why do they even have horses?
Yeah.
Let's see here. I will not keep attempting suicide. Well, you know, and we've all had horses that do that, the suicidal ones who do everything they can to hurt themselves.
Gosh, so much.
And why is it, number 13, I will not sneeze the moment my human walks past me. And that should be, there's something else should be out of that. I will not sneeze the moment my human walks past me with their go-out clothes on. You've
yep.
just gone and changed. You just because you're going to go out to dinner that night, but you have to go out and feed them or throw, you know, do something quick that you thought, I'll never get dirty. I'll be fine. It's just quick. And then they sneeze. It's every time on your shirt.
Every time. It's yep. shocking.
Yep. I won't try and steal mints out of your pockets. That's something I do have a problem with Scooter. He's figured that out, and now he just will not let your pockets alone. And he's one that actually nibbles on them, you know, will nibble on them.
Oh, yeah.
He's one that does that. Let's see here. I will not chase the ponies into the electric fence if I see it's on. Have you ever had one that chases them into the fences?
Oh my gosh! I Jet chases everybody in our electric fence pasture, but I don't think he chases them into it. Thank God, because they're hard to fix.
Yeah, we've had a couple of situations that we've actually witnessed. This is where we lived in Pennsylvania, that the horses would get running and the one horse would chase the other through the electric fence, and the first horse through gets the worst of it. They usually end up with a cut or two, but then they're all out on the road. I can't tell you how many times. We had electric fence issues that we'd have people knocking on the door at 2 or 3 in the morning.
Oh,
and
no.
we live, you know,
no.
outside of town. Yes. And, you know, you never want to get that knock at 2 or 3 in the morning because it's never good. Nobody's knocking on your door at 3 o'clock for any good reason. And
no.
it usually in our case was there were loose horses. And then you'd have to, we finally bought one of those like 2 million candle watt big things that the hunters use, the, you know, the lights, because we couldn't find them at night. The farm was pretty large, and we just couldn't find them. So we got one of those just so we could find the horses and figure out where they were on the road.
I am amazed, Glenn, when I hear these stories that you have talking about this farm that you lived on with that wife of yours. I am shocked you did not divorce her. I mean, seriously.
It is true. We had a lot of adventures on the farms over the years. We have had a few. We could write a book. We really should write a book. Let's see here. What other ones are on here? I will not pull my new shoes off the very next day after the farrier's here, just to prove I can. And that's only when you're right before you're ready to go to a show, right? I mean, that's when that happens. If you don't have a show for 3 months, then your shoes will stay on for 3 months. But,
I like number 20. This happens a lot.
What is it?
Number 20, I will promise never to dump the wheelbarrow full of manure while my human is mucking my stall.
Yes,
that is something that some horses, they won't leave it alone. It's like you're already like, okay, you're trying to get in, keep the door closed, close the door behind you, and they won't knock it over when it's empty. But you fill the whole dang thing up, and then they got to knock it over. Oh, gosh, that's annoying.
And why is it that you're cleaning their stall or their paddock and they think their poop is the most interesting thing in the world? They're just sniffing and sniffing and sniffing. It's like, it's your poop.
So gross.
Let's see here. There's a bunch more. I found one I wanted to. I will understand that rabbits are not carnivorous. That is so true. Squirrels or birds, everything in the world is carnivorous to a horse. Scooter seems to have the biggest problem now with anything that's in the woods, because the day he bolted was the horses running through the woods. So now if I'm walking by woods and there's noise in the woods, that's it. It's the scariest thing, and it's going to eat him alive. So I don't know what point you get to where they finally believe that it's not.
Never. It kind of goes with number 36. I will stop being an alarmist when being ridden. Yes. Oh, my God. You walk along. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Edward is like that. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, just go. You don't have to. Like, I tell kids, I'm like, when he stops, just keep going. Just pass me. Because clearly he needs a little bit of help. There's nothing. There's nothing. But he's a total alarmist.
How about, I will accept that the trailer has not killed me yet and is like unlikely to kill me, and therefore not a reason to not get in the trailer. You know, so... Yeah, trailers are just these big, scary things. And there's some horses that are just so easy about trailers and some horses that just never get it. But, you know, you'll get them in, but they do not like it. And they're not going to like it forever. It's just the way they are.
Love it. I love this one. I accept that sometimes it's windy and that it's simply a weather event and it does not signify the coming of the end of the world.
But I gotta say, you live in Phoenix, where when it gets windy on occasion, it's a haboo.
It could be.
And it looks like the end of the world. It really does.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes you're right.
I have never lived through one of those. Your first time in a haboo must be surreal if you're outside.
Why is there a wall of dirt coming? Yeah. I don't understand. It's like, it makes you think of Hidalgo when he's like, run!
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it must be something to live through that for the first time, because it does look like the end of the world. It gets all dark as night, and that.
Awesome.
I will not have a drink and then shower my human with a mouthful.
Uh-huh.
We've all had that happen.
I used to hate that. You fill up the water barrel, and you got the hose in there, and George, the big drinker, comes out of the water barrel, and it's only got 2 inches of water in the bottom. And he has himself a good long drink, and his mouth's all full of grime and grass and dirt. And he gets his mouth full, and then he spits it all back out into the water barrel. You have just spent 10 minutes scrubbing.
Yes, very true. Very true.
And Jennifer, I'm sure if you've ever had a gray horse, it doesn't really matter what color, but especially gray. I will not, this is number 43, and these are New Year's resolutions that your horse
promises. I will not poo and lay down in it, especially when I'm about to be loaded up for a show. And I will not get shavings in my braids. How many of us have dealt with picking out, you know, you have to braid the night before because you've got an early morning ride, and you have to get up even earlier because you have to pick the little pieces of shavings out of their braids. I'm almost like it's a decor, you know. Maybe I put it there on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. Up in Massachusetts at the Hunt Barn, the big horses had double stalls. When they remodeled the barn, they took every other wall out. So the horses were literally in double stalls. And they invariably came out with half a dozen manure pillows stuck to their body. Really? You have two stalls worth in there.
Yeah.
Why? Why do they? My horses sleep outside at night, and they come in with poop stains. I'm like, you got a whole freaking pasture.
You know, of all
understand.
The, we had probably about 100 horses over our lifetime, and I can think of two that were corner poopers that were the neatest horses ever. If only we could find that gene and put it into every horse that is ever bred, that one gene that causes them to want to poop in the corner. We've only ever had two, though, the corner poopers.
But
never had more than two.
I have two corner poopers, but one of them lays in the corner just to help. So we need to separate the corner poop and the corner sleep genes. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
We need to identify those. We need to get better at this whole gene, you know, thing.
Yeah.
We need to get better at it.
Gene people.
Yes. Let's get to the important stuff that we have to deal with on a daily basis. And
so
the easy keeper gene should be one that's in all horses too, shouldn't it? You know, because you know you do have a few easy keepers, but then you get the not so easy keepers. That gene, we should make a list of genes that we really want to be in horses. Our wish list of genes, and send it.
Well, we don't need that because our horses are promising to have some really healthy New Year's resolutions.
Well, I'm telling you that right now I'm looking out the studio window, and it looks like Scooter is biting Beaker's ears off. So, Beaker's really not happy with Scooter right now. We're going to have to separate them for a little while.
I understand. Out my window right now, Edward is removing Joey's blanket. So, you know, that's what happened.
Why do we own horses anyway?
I don't know. I'm exhausted.
You know, now that you said that, I'm thinking, wow, I wonder what my life would have been like had I divorced Jennifer after 2 years of nightmare on the farm. I could be like retired, living on a beach in some, you know, island somewhere.
I know. You'd be miserable, though. You need the drama. We all need it. We love it. Well, it's great. This has been a fun show, Glenn. Fun show. And now I got to go get some books. I got to read Battleship and Man of War.
I got to go separate our horses, apparently, because poor Scooter gets his face kicked in. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We appreciate it. Get your ads in for Really Bad Ads. Tomorrow is Road to the Horse Day. Tammy will be here. We'll be talking Road to the Horse. And then Friday, Jamie will be back for a Friday show. We're going to be talking Arabian racing, something that I don't know if we've ever talked about before, but yes, they do race Arabians. So we're going to be talking about that on Friday as well. Thank you, everybody.
This is for you, Glenn. This is for you.
My little pony. Thank you. It's been a good day. I have
it's
one
been a good
day.
I don't want to be that girl.
So keep that in mind over the next couple of days, Jamie.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. See you, everybody.
Major to Gild. Have a great day, everybody.